Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome to episode 55 of the Cloudcast. We're coming to you live late in the evening, doing something a little bit different, still from our semi-massive Cloudcast studios with new and improved renovations. Tonight, we're gonna try something a little bit different, partially because we're all a little bit punchy from VMworld last week, and partially because it's football season and people's minds aren't as focused on technology as maybe they should be. So we're going to kind of combine cloud computing and fantasy football drafts tonight. And so to do that, I brought some folks that stay very, very connected and are very opinionated about stuff. So Aaron, obviously riding shotgun tonight. How you doing tonight, man?
Hey, everyone. Doing good.
And also coming in and sort of playing fantasy general managers for us tonight are both Colin, I love OpenStack McNamara. And,
hey, guys.
Nick, Puppet Razor, Uber, Everything Weaver. And actually, Nick, what number does this make of your appearances on the show?
At this point, I have lost count.
You've been on so often?
It's more than three and less than six. So.
Yeah, you're like the Jessica Parker. Jessica, what's the person that always comes on Letterman? That's you. You're our guest whenever we need somebody. So
I'm like the Matt Damon of the talk show world.
You're the Matt Damon. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. And again, this might go horribly bad, and we may never get actually to put this out in the air. But what we're basically going to do, we're going to run this like a fantasy draft. The order is Colin's going to pick first, Nick's going to go second, Aaron's going to go third, and I'm going to go last. What we're going to do is before they do their first picks, everybody's going to kind of say, here's my strategy for the type of cloud that I'm trying to build, and it can be anything you want. It can be a business model. It can be a technology model. You can think of yourself as an enterprise, a venture capitalist, whatever you want to do. And then what we're going to do at the end of this thing, people are going to pick somewhere between six and eight picks, and we're going to kind of put them into buckets. It could be cloud management. It could be a PaaS framework. It could be how you do application provisioning, whatever. And at the end of this, what we'll do is we'll sort of put the teams together, we'll put them out for the public to vote, and we'll sort of decide what people think is the best cloud that got picked. And then what we'll do is at the end of the year, maybe we'll revisit this, and based on who gets acquired and who screws up and who builds great technology or whatever, maybe we'll re-vote on who wins this thing at the end, and maybe we'll give away some sort of prize, or they can be the king of fantasy cloud for 2012. So, everybody cool with the rules?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Colin, you are up first. You have a complete blank slate, both in terms of picks and what kind of cloud you want to build.
Okay. And so, are we picking one from each of the potential positions, or going through what cloud we'll want to build and then what infrastructure or teams would go into it?
Yeah. Why don't you do type of cloud you want to build first, and then, pick from one of the categories and, if you want, obviously you could pick two if you want to load up on them like people do quarterbacks. But since we're probably only going to have six to eight picks, it's probably best to pick one from each category.
Okay, sure thing. So my strategy, and there's a lot of focus on infrastructure and a lot of the clouds are getting put up. But I believe that a lot of the business value is going to be in service catalogs. All right. And portals in containing the onboarding to that. So my strategy is to create a cloud-hosted web portal and cloud gateways while driving consumptions of on-premise hardware pods, you might say, hardware platforms while still monetizing public clouds.
Okay. All right. That's a lot of stuff, but go ahead.
Yeah.
First pick.
First pick. For cloud management, I actually got a hybrid here. So this is a company called ServiceNow, which has web portals, IT process management, but then they acquire Instratus, which is basically a cloud arbitrator.
All right. So you're basically picking for 2012, and you're taking your first round pick for 2013 in the same in the same one.
That's awesome.
All right, that's fine. We're just making up the rules as we go. So so if you do that, how much is George Reese getting out of this? How much are they having to buy them for? You can't just pick an acquisition without throwing out a number.
What's Tebow's salary? Figure out whatever Tebow's salary is and just make it that.
Yes, you know, I think that Instratus first has to hire someone in marketing to get any sort of valuation. You know, so right now zero. If they hired someone in marketing,
okay.
If they actually hired a technical marketing person, I think that I mean they're already in place at HP, Dell. There, I think at Korea Telecom. So, you know, judging by like, Nebula got 25 million today, I believe. I think they're worth the 10 to 25.
Okay. All right. So there's your first round pick. Nick, you are up next.
All right. So I'm going to play the part of a very large Fortune 100 company that is going to be migrating to cloud services, but you know, not going to necessarily build one unified private cloud or one unified public cloud. What we're looking to do is merge in the best of breed stuff to make the biggest impact, and then kind of just, you know, slow roll in through the rest of the corporate. So, a couple things here are going to fit different things, but they may not all intersect directly. My first pick is going to be because of the financial part of it, and the part about, you know, if you're doing cloud, that you got to have some kind of return on investment or, you know, lower TCO or something. I'm actually picking Cloudability is my favorite, like, cloud startup. I love the fact that they're doing stuff around cost savings and management from a money perspective and from a financial standpoint around cloud. They got some great use cases out there about saving money for companies already. AWS integration, all kinds of cool stuff. From a selling cloud to business standpoint, from my pitch, I think it's a really easy sell.
Okay, cool. So Matt Ellis and the boys up in Portland from Cloudability. Cool. So you're on the board, first pick. Aaron, you're next.
Yeah, so now I got to call an audible because, damn it, Nick, I was going to pick Cloudability.
So you're pretty much V-block or get fired at this point. I think.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So here's what I'm going to do. You know, the .NET developers, they just don't get enough love in this world. So I'm going to go with Aprenda for my first round pick. I'm going to build a PaaS, but with a little bit of .NET flavor in it.
Okay. And the purpose of your cloud is going to be?
Well, I'm going to kind of make it up as I go since Nick took mine. probably what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and be with a series of picks here that the absolute most complete PaaS I can be out there.
All right. Okay. I thought for a second.
I like the Aprenda one because being a .NET guy and coming from .NET background, I know very few .NET shops that give a crap about Polyglot stuff, right? I think Aprenda's got a great place in the marketplace. I know a lot of guys are looking at them because they have that real true .NET based focus. I think it's a great pick.
All right. Cool. I thought for a second that you were going to go like Oakland Raiders and just have no idea what you were doing and just pick, you know, random crap and throw it on the wall. All right. So I'm going last, and then I get the next pick because we're going to do this in snake order. So my framework is I'm going to go after enterprises, Fortune 500 size enterprises, and I'm going to take the approach that basically says you are going to fence off your existing IT. You're going to sort of squeeze it and try and squeeze as much cost out of that as possible, but the focus is going to be on how do you migrate to sort of new applications into the enterprise regardless of where they run, so whether they run in-house or out in the public cloud. And to do that, I think for my first pick, I'm going to take RightScale, give myself that framework that says I've got a portal, I've got a framework that can run against any cloud infrastructure, in-house or out of house, if you will, in-house or outhouse. And so I'm going to go with RightScale.
Nice. You're creating a cloud outhouse.
Yeah, I am.
So was that also your cloud washing? Or the cloud?
Yeah, so that was the other thing we said, that at any point you can pick a cloud washing tagline. Yeah, so my tagline will be cloud for the in-house or the outhouse. There you go. all right, so I had the fourth pick, and with the fifth pick, I am going to take CloudStack. We had a nice talk with Peter Ulander last week. They had an interesting engagement with the folks from Basho today. So they've got some ability to go sort of traditional cloud on-premise. They're now working with a bunch of the folks in the open world. Obviously, it means I get free access to Zynga and gaming, as well as free domain names at GoDaddy. I think I'm in good shape with that. So I will have I'll take CloudStack.
Nice. Good
right,
one.
Aaron, you're good next. One.
All right, so for my next one, I'm actually going to I get to cheat a little bit here. I'm going to take our most popular from viewer downloads podcast ever, and I'm going to go with Apigee to wrap some APIs around my nice little paths that I'm going to be building here.
All right. Yep, the guys from Apigee do some very cool stuff. You're going to have to find some data for them to talk to, but all right, cool. Sam will appreciate that. Nick, you're back up.
Yeah, I'm going to probably go a little bit off the reservation here and pick one that hasn't been proven yet, but the big demand is not just in applications. No, I'm going to change it up. I got two. I'm going to hope you guys don't know my other one, so I'm going to pick the a more obvious one up first. I'm going to pick AppFog as my next one. As far as, like, platforms and polyglot-based PaaS stuff, I really like what they're doing. I actually especially like the fact that they're running on AWS, and you can actually use a lot of the regular standard AWS services along with a Cloud Foundry base and just a whole ton of different languages, which I think is actually pretty awesome. There's one last thing I want to capture in my orchestration, my company, but for my main platform development, multiple business unit, migrating stuff from legacy in whatever language I want into the cloud, I think AppFog is going to be my guys.
Okay, very cool. And they just bought Nodester, so they're trying to sort of capture the Node.js market as well,
yeah,
as well as whatever's going on with Cloud Foundry.
Yeah, they already got some pretty good Node.js core competency too, so that's awesome.
Very cool. All right, Colin, you've got the next two picks.
So, you know, I would be expected to go with, you know, OpenStack for the on-prem infrastructure. That being said, I think that teams and the ability to write code and to utilize OpenStack, being it's truly open source. So I can't use Nebula. They just got funded. Mirantis, services company based out of Silicon Valley. They've been, I believe, doing the integrations for Cisco on their OpenStack. And just from what I hear on the street and anything I've heard internally, and first from some code they posted. So the Mirantis team gives the flexibility, no matter where the world goes, whether it's CloudStack, whether it's OpenStack, can really extend that functionality. You know, look at they posted some code just a couple weeks or a couple months ago where they emulated they wrote a driver to emulate Elastic load balancing services. I think they do a great job of extending a lot of these open source frameworks so you can actually kind of get ahead of the competition versus having the same platform everyone else does.
Interesting. So are you taking both OpenStack and Mirantis or just Mirantis?
No, taking the services arm of Mirantis because you can implement the platform based on whatever, although I prefer to implement on Mirantis or on OpenStack. Mirantis is just a services company.
Okay, kind of like, very cool. Yeah. Yeah, the Mirantis guys had an interesting blog post today because, like you said, they've got a bunch of sort of deep OpenStack background and did a sort of a comparison with CloudStack today. So, yeah, those types of companies will be in high demand if things like OpenStack start to mature and get out in the marketplace. All right, you've got the next pick as well.
Oh, I have the next pick?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. For application provisioning, and you know, I don't want to take this away from Nick, but I think that DevOps is important, and that for automating
you better the not, you better not do it.
I'm gonna be nice to take Chef, so I can leave. I can leave.
Okay.
For Nick, I think it's only appropriate since you've written some amazing code there. Right, but so automating provisioning of the on-premise platform.
All right, so you've got Chef from the guys over at OpsCode. All right,
yeah.
Nick, you've got your third round pick.
So I'm gonna this is the one I was gonna do last round, but I was afraid one of you guys would grab AppFog. So in true fantasy football style, I'm gonna pull out one called Parse. Parse is working on a PaaS based platform for mobile. And I've done some research on those guys. I've been kind of quietly watching them, and I think it's really interesting kind of how they're tackling it. I mean, they still have a lot to prove out, but inside a company that's going to cloud, you know, consumption for mobile is always a big issue. Real-time communication, distribution, app pushing, unit testing, Q&A, all those complex things that make mobile different. And since that's the emerging market for a lot of corporate interest, I'd like to have a kind of best-of-breed platform to partner with as I move my business units over to mobile stuff. So that's my next pick is Parse.
Okay. That's a company we'll have to go learn about. I think the mobile play is smart. I think being able to figure out a way to enable, whether it's your workforce or whether it's huge communities around mobile, that's going to be the direction things are going. So very cool. We'll have to dig into Parse. We might have to find them as a guest on the show at some point.
And I would say that the Cloudability, my first pick, and then that pick right there, I'm hoping that'll be a really cool integration point for Cloudability to audit and help manage the financial consumption on those mobile platforms too.
Okay, very cool. Aaron, you're up next.
Yeah, so I'm going to continue my PaaS line here and actually go with one that maybe isn't as intuitive to some of the others. I'm going to go actually with OpenShift. I'm going to bring Red Hat into the portfolio here and kind of round out not just .NET, but a little bit of everything with OpenShift.
All right. So you're going to try and cover the market on both .NET and Java to a certain extent, and you're going to cover Windows and Linux, basically.
Or enterprise. Exactly.
Windows and Linux. All right.
Developers will love me.
Okay. Very cool. All right, so I'm up, and at this point, I've got an infrastructure stack, and I've got a way to live on top of it. So my choice at this point is: do I go in the application space, or do I go with something that's infrastructure-y, security-ish? I think at this point, I'm gonna take a little bit of a flyer because I think there's still a huge market for this, but I'm gonna go ahead and counter Aaron's Apprenda, and I'm gonna take Azure. I think
you can have them.
Well, I'm gonna take Azure with the sort of assumption, sort of like Colin did, that I'm also gonna get to suck in basically the Office suite that goes along with Azure if I'm allowed to do that. As a way to hopefully get people moving away from being 100% dependent on their Windows laptop and so forth. So, all right. So I'm going to take Azure, which now that I look at this is sort of like when you're playing Risk and you realize like, oh, well, that might have been a good pick, but now I've only got the continent of Antarctica and I might be completely screwed. So I'm going to take that. Let's see. Where do I want to go from here? I think the other thing I'm going to take in this is I'm going to take Salesforce.com and the app store that goes with Salesforce.com, and basically try and capture that segment of the business application market.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Which,
so that's it's like saying you like. You just bought Peyton Manning, basically.
Yeah,
right?
I think I just took half the internet with those two picks.
Yeah, so you have Azure and Salesforce.
At this point, I think my next picks have to basically be commodity hardware, and I have no money left.
Right. I mean, so you either bought Peyton Manning or you bought Joe Montana. We're not sure yet, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I may have bought either. Oh, okay. All right, Aaron, you are next.
So as a counter to Brian's spending money, I'm going to purchase a company that I'm going to make money off of, and I'll explain why here in a second. I'm actually going to go. It's not quite cloudy, but I'm actually going to pick Bromium, and I'm not really allowed to say anything about them. So I'm just going to wait a little while and sit on them, and I'm going to sell them, and they're going to generate money.
So just like in Stratus, you got to tell us how much they're going for.
Oh, geez. Depends on when, right? So let's say what? 1 year out?
It's your buy, man. It's your pick.
Are you really buying them, or are you buying Simon? Which one are you buying?
Well, so assuming Simon goes with it, I'd say it's a package deal. 1 year out, I'm going to say $100 million.
Oh, he's not going to be happy because I think they've already taken in about $36 million. So I think he's expecting a nice zero sort of buyout. But okay. All right, Nick, you are up.
Okay, so I'm going to also, you guys have a little security theme going, and luckily you didn't grab my favorite one. I'm going to grab Cloud Passage. So I've got all these different mobile apps, all these different things, and I need to think about cloud-based security. And I think they're one of the best ones out there, and I got some proven record already. So that's going to be my security focus is Cloud Passage.
All right. Very cool. Another Cloudcast alumni. Those guys are very, very good. So you're sort of building this very SaaS-centric, mobile-centric sort of framework. It's coming along. Colin, you've once again got the next two picks. You and I have sort of the tough one because we go back to back, but you've got the next two picks in round five and six, or four. Four and five.
So I've already kind of called out web service portals, API arbitration for on-prem, off-prem, people who can write amazing code and platforms to automate the deployment. I think there's still money to be made by selling big blinky stuff to the enterprises. So for the on-prem solution, Synnex, a distributor that they make they make all of Facebook servers, right? For Open Compute, based out of Fremont. They're also a distributor who has relationships with all this other, you know, blinky stuff we sell into our inner customers. And then for the storage platform of this, Nexenta. So software-based storage, I believe one of the few people that have gotten away with... What's that?
I said nice choice.
Yeah, thanks. They've been able to get away with using ZFS without getting sued and have some pretty big service providers.
That is so true.
That was literally my first question when I met him. Like, how are you not sued?
They should put that on the website. I mean, literally, just right. You go to the website. We're using ZFS and not getting sued. That's just awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, and then you know they have built-in Swift APIs and I believe S3. So.
Okay. Now yeah. you need to do this for me because how do we spell Synnex?
S-Y-N-N-E-X.
Okay. And Synnex is sort of in the vein of companies like Pico 8 and some of the other Quantum that are building basically hardware for these huge web-scale data centers?
Yeah. So what's interesting, they're a distributor. Their primary business is hardware distribution. But they have a configure-to-order option where they've been building, doing a lot of stuff off of OpenCompute, doing high-performance Hadoop. It's kind of it's old, non-sexy business, but I think they're actually making money off a lot of these clouds. No, figuring out a way to make money off all these clouds instead of just having shiny bits.
Okay, very cool.
There's a lot of money in non-sexy.
Yeah, be block.
not as much as sexy, but
that's right. That's right. All right, Nick, you are back on the clock, and it's your call. It's your field.
Okay, I'm going to kind of go off the radar again a little bit. I'm going to pick a company called AppDirect. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of them before. They basically do marketplace as a service, white box marketplace stuff for cloud services. So if you're a company that has business to business or business to consumer applications like mine does, you build all these apps on your PaaS and your mobile, but how do you present them to your users and license them and sell them or even your internal folks? And I really like their white label cloud service marketplace stuff. And they have a pretty proven record. They're used by a lot of different people out there. And so for figuring out a way to deploy and manage and present my apps to my consumers or my other businesses I'm selling to, this is what I'm going with.
All right. Very, 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 very focused strategy from Nick and pulling names out of the hat that some of us may not know very well. Aaron? Where do you go after you sell Bromium and you disappoint the hell out of Simon for only selling him for $100 million?
Well, you know, I probably need something to run all this on, and I certainly am going to need a company that needs to help me out with all of the infrastructure. Actually, I'm going to go with cloud scaling for my next one. So I definitely need some help building this out, and I believe they'll be able to help me with all of this.
Now, are you going to keep both Randy and Simon on staff?
I don't know if they'd be able to get along with me long enough, but sure.
All right. So you've got
we're going to have see how many egos we can put in a room and see what happens, right? It's going to be, if nothing else, a science experiment on egos.
Okay. So you're taking a little bit of a similar approach to Simon in that you're taking a sort of consulting, OpenStack-focused SI type of company to help you pull this stuff together.
Yes.
All right. Very cool. So I am up again, and I've got two in a row. So we have not talked about big data at all or analytics or how that's going to help people's business. So I'm going to go that route. I'm going to take Cloudera. They seem to be basically sort of pulling away from the pack in terms of Hadoop and the tools around Hadoop. So I will take Cloudera. And as my sixth pick is sort of a hedge. A, I've got to, since I'm building something that could run in-house, potentially could run on some service provider, and potentially could be the next really big acquisition and may just fund my IT for the rest of the year, I'm going to take Big Switch Networks and hope that Oracle
really?
Or HP or somebody overpays for those guys in the same vein as NYSERA.
Mm. But don't you feel like you're going to see another Hitler video with the CEO of Big Switch, slamming his hands on the table? Why didn't I get acquired?
It's very possible.
I was totally scared about what you were going to say until you finished it, and I was like, "Oh!" I was like, "The Hitler." I'm like, "What Hitler? What are we talking about?"
It's just like the Brocade videos, right? I mean, it's pretty much Brocade play. Crap, no one's left to buy us.
Yeah, that's the trick, right? I mean, Cisco's already sort of put their cards on the table. They're doing the InSemi thing. VMware's in. I don't know. Big Switch has probably got the next best pedigree, but does anybody buy them? I don't know. So that's my hedge. It could be $1 billion, or it could just be a nice controller to run my internal network with.
Dell likes to buy. Well, Dell could buy them because they could put some intelligence on their switching.
Yeah, and they're not afraid to overlap their product portfolio. So
yeah.
So that's my move. Aaron, you are back on the clock.
So I'm going to make a little bit of a rule here. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to peel a product out of a company here. I'm going to need some automation. And actually, it sounds like most of the big automations have been taken already. But still, there's one that's out there that hasn't been mentioned, and that's Crowbar. So I'm going to take Crowbar.
Just Crowbar? Crowbar, you can get open source.
I don't want Dell. I just want Crowbar.
So you're just buying Rob.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So yeah, exactly. Zeacle.
I would love to see Nick's face as you're making that pick.
I know. I kind of did that as a jab.
Yeah. Hey, dude, this got way more watchers than Razer. That's all I'm gonna say. There's like five times more people care about Crowbar than Razer. They deserve it.
All right, Nick, back to you.
Well, now I gotta pick Razer. No, I'm just teasing.
I was leaving it for you, dude. I purposely was.
Nah,
doing
it. I can't pick it. That'd be like, I don't know. I don't know. I'll think of some incestual idea later about what that's like. But my next pick, I'm kind of torn. My big issue is, even though I've got all this PaaS stuff, I still have internal applications, and one of my big issues is caching of data and objects and information internally that I don't necessarily want to store out in the cloud, right? And so one company I find really interesting in a product is Ceph, and I'm really fascinated with it. And so I'm actually going to grab, even though he's going to shove it in my face later, Ed's going to shove it in my face later, I'm going to pick up InkTank.
Oh.
And I'm going to use InkTank for storing at a real cheap rate with that open source Ceph and support, storing all my object-based stuff and kind of as a way of caching locally information I can't store necessarily in the cloud, or I need to have applications have closer distance to. So I'm picking InkTank.
Yeah, Ed is going to give you all sorts of crap for that, although folks could read into that based on who you work for, too. It could go all sorts of ways there. Or you could just say you're buying Gina Minx and leave it at that. And
So
you're not going to take on Ed.
No, I'm buying it for Gina. That's exactly right.
There you go. All right, Colin, you are up with your sixth and seventh round pick. These are usually guys out of like Southwest Missouri State. Maybe a little overweight but fast. This is a potential pick.
Okay, so this is a interesting one. I'd buy Joyent, trash their product, but get their teams.
Oh.
So I love that.
What are they calling this? All the companies that Twitter and Facebook by. It's not an acquisition. It's like a acquisition or something. You're just basically hiring the people. So, okay.
Yeah, so it's basically the old Fishworks team that's out there. You know, they got basically all the smart people from Sun. They had to go somewhere. Yeah, no, I think they're doing some really good things. And then, I have no idea how to build it into the platform that I actually define here, but I think one of the bigger opportunities for business moving forward, you mentioned big data, you mentioned analytics, data scientists. So a small startup that's been floating around for years called Casa. They're actually the people behind the FICO score.
Okay.
Yeah. They kind of pop in and out. You'll see the, behind the FICO score, they were the analytics team for Morgan Stanley, Dean Witter. They're the back end for LifeLock. I think there's a great market for putting actual data scientists and making consumable data science for these for customers. And big data is nice, but if you can't do anything, what's the point?
All right, so wait a second. You picked up a storage distribution for open compute. I mean, I'm sorry, server compute distribution with the open compute model. You picked up Nexenta and you picked up Joyent. Are you trying to build the next Sun?
yeah, but I won't try to develop ZFS is the problem. Okay. So.
Yeah, because you just picked up like 75% of all their good engineers right there. So.
Hey, absolutely, but you know what? The difference this time is we will embrace open source.
All right. So this is another one, Colin. You got to spell CASA for me.
CASA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're out of Los Alamos.
All right. Nick, with your seventh round pick out of Maine, who do you select?
What about out of Minnesota?
All right, Adam. Uh-oh. Well. Okay.
So
you're buying the leftover IT guys from Best Buy?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of
buying the Geek Squad.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence between. Nah, I'm gonna switch it. I'm gonna pick up the one thing I'm missing. I'm missing the governance piece, which is obvious what I'm talking about there. But I'm also missing my big data, and I'm actually gonna pick up Greenplum. That's what I'm gonna use for this pick. So from a large commercial standpoint, of course, I work for EMC. So disclaimer: anything I say is as an employee. But I love Greenplum's focus on performance at scale, and I love their commitment to open source. I work a lot with guys who work a lot with them. And so from an adoption standpoint, and since Cloudera basically just teaches people how to use Hadoop, I'm going to pick Greenplum.
All right. Very cool. So you're going to have to sort of peel that out of Joe's hands. But all right. Very cool. You can rent it from him. Aaron, your seventh pick.
Has anybody picked Puppet yet?
No.
I love that one for Nick.
What is it? Dude, you just picked Chrome.
I know, but I was leaving. I figured you'd pick up Puppet and Razor, but you haven't. So if no one's picked up Puppet, then I'm going to take Puppet and Crowbar. I'm going to try and corner the market here.
Oh, yeah. That's,
all right.
It's interesting. It's like picking Ford and Chevy.
So again,
developers will love me. Isn't most of the Crowbar stuff written to work with Chef, though?
It's Wrapped Chef. It actually is Chef.
Yeah, not when I'm done with it.
There you go, Aaron. You're going to build the most. you're going to have multiple personality disorder on your DevOps team. You're going to have Chef launching
something
Puppet,
for everything.
Launching
again. I'm just trying to pick on Nick.
Yeah, right. He's doing a good job. Those are my boys and girls. There's girls too.
All right. Well, I've got the seventh and eighth picks here, so I'm gonna kind of wrap up the bottom end of the draft here, and I'm gonna go with a couple things. One, I'm gonna kind of I'm realizing I'm quickly sort of folding into the Simon Wardley model of who we should pick up and who we should go after. I'm going to pick up Basho as a
nice.
Both a distributed database as well as sort of a storage platform for two reasons. One, the cloud stack angle, and two, I'm fascinated by this woman Shanley who works there for no other reason than she seems like she's sort of an ass kicker, and she seems like she's a change agent, and given that my overall goal is to drive this sort of new IT, I'm going to let her be the chief ass kicker in my organization. And then after that, I'm going to pick up I'm on the fence about this, but I think I'm going to pick up Cloud Foundry. And I'm not going to take it since Nick's got AppFog. I'm just going to take Cloud Foundry the way that Colin took working with OpenStack, but I'm going to use Cloud Foundry as my my application environment. So I'm going to pick up Basho and Cloud Foundry to finish out the seventh and eighth round. And Aaron, it is back to you.
So, again, going back to my love of paths here this evening, I'm going to go with our path. I'm going to pick up, you know, something that really is more enterprise-centric paths and all the things that they do. They were a guest here recently and a very good podcast with them. And I really liked what they had to say on there. And so I'm, again, completely rounding out something for everybody, for the developers here tonight.
Ford, so Chevy, and now Chrysler also. You got them
exactly.
Not to mention if you get fired for not picking up V-Block, you can drive over and get a job with them in Raleigh. And
Yeah, exactly. They're right here in town, so hopefully I can just call them up.
All right, so Aaron owns the entire automation market. Nick, your last pick.
Hey,
I think we'll make it eight rounds, and then unless somebody's got a really good sleeper that you want to throw in at the end for a future pick.
So can I protest the commission about antitrust laws, or because I think Aaron totally.
I think you can. So Colin, I'll let you be the deciding vote. Does Aaron have too much dysfunctional automation?
I think it's good for all of it to be lumped under Aaron. It fosters a new platform to compete against this monolithic cloud that is Aaron Delp.
Okay. Well.
All right. Well, since you guys are doing all that, I got my pick's pretty easy. I'm going to take Bosch. So you picked up Cloud Foundry, Bosch being separate and having a separate team with which I had many beers last week with, and they're crazy cool bunch of people. And the fact that I do need automation for deploying into Cloud Foundry, and I do need automation for all my different application stack pieces, and nothing does that quite as well right now as Bosch, outside of what's available left after you guys took Puppet. I'm going to go with Bosch.
All right. So, Nick, or Colin, you have the what do they call this pick in the NFL draft? Mr. Irrelevant? You've got the Mr. Irrelevant pick here in our 2012 fantasy cloud draft. Last pick, eighth round. Make it a good one.
Okay, NTT. So with that, I get Ryu, a product they maintain for distributed networking and OpenStack. But also, if you look at how AT&T, they have an extremely overpriced cloud, but they make their money selling circuits. So I can go ahead and make money off dropping circuits in everywhere and don't have to worry about running a profitable business.
So
wait a second, did you just pick AT&T or NTT?
NTT. NTT.
Okay. Okay, yeah, gotcha. All right. For a second, I thought you said AT&T, and I was like, well, I pick Exxon.
I'll take Apple.
No, but yeah, they are contributing a lot of interesting stuff to Ryu, into Quantum. I think if you look at Ryu, kind of position in a place like Mindokura or Nasira even, I think more for their own internal platforms, but there's that'd be number eight.
All right, so we're getting sort of close to the end here, but we're gonna throw one other wrinkle into this, and we'll give everybody basically a minute. This will be like the end of a debate. You each have 1 minute to sort of give a summary of what you think you've drafted, and you also have the option that. You can say, if I could have, this would have been the one from somebody else I wish I would have gotten. And Colin, since you're first, I'll let you go first.
Okay, so the 1 minute summary of who I drafted. Again, the strategy is to own that cloud portal, to own the instantiation and the API translation of that cloud, as well as monetize on the cloud or monetize the local on-premise consumption. Front end by ServiceNow, API arbitration or cloud arbitration by Instratus, a great services team from Mirantis, automation platforms from Chef, actually making hardware and selling it to people, which is Synnex for Open Compute, a pretty awesome software-based storage from Nixenta, The old Fishworks team from Joint, throw away their product, keep their people, an analytics team from Casa, and circuit sales from NTT. And if I could take anything from anyone, it would have been Puppet.
All right. So you're sort of building potentially the next generation of systems integrator there, it sounds like.
Yes. Actually, that's what it looks like.
All right. Mr. Weaver?
So, once again, I'm more of a large Fortune 100 company who's looking to move into the cloud and try to take advantage of the cost improvements, operational overload, that kind of stuff. And so my first pick was Cloudability, being pretty much the only major financial management tool for cloud, cost monitoring. And that helps me establish metrics, key performance indicators into my business units, allows me to prove what costs are and how we're saving money, and also manage and keep things from running away from me. I picked for my main PaaS platform that I'm going to integrate all my dev teams into for proper apps, AppFog, which is a Cloud Foundry-based, runs on AWS, so I get great scale and provides access to all my AWS services, which is really important because that means I can still deploy all my existing apps, use all the Cloud Foundry goodness, and then if I need something from like content distribution or media delivery or something that Amazon specializes in, I can still use it. I'm going with Parse, which is a mobile startup in the PaaS space, mainly because I want to have something that's very specialized for mobile, and that way my mobile-focused teams can have their own sweet sauce. I'm going to go with Cloud Passage for security, mainly because they appear to be quickly becoming the best of breed out there. They're really quick to integrate into stuff. I've met some of the guys that work for them, and they're all really, really sharp, and I think it'd be a great partner on security. Going with AppDirect, they actually package up my apps, mobile, app fog base, whatever. So when I'm doing the business to business or business consumer stuff, I can actually, white label, distribute, license, all those great things, and have at least a centralized portal, right? So, you can build as many apps as you want on a PaaS, but if you can't, display, use them in a kind of new app style format, what use is it? And then for internal object storage and local cache stuff for distance, I'm going to use Intake because it's low cost and it's got a great distributed model. And for my big data internal and for power and speed for analytics, I'm focusing on Greenplum, mainly because they work really well with large Fortune 100 companies and they're committed to open source pretty quick. And finally, for my kind of my tendons and connecting tissue between all these different elements, I'm going to focus on Bosch for automating, which if I could have had one other pick, I would have taken Puppet Labs, of course.
All right. So, Aaron, you owe Nick a beer for stealing his baby to a certain extent.
Bastard. And Colin said it too. So my premise is, I got Puppet. No. So my quick summary is developers love PaaS. They love APIs. They love automation. I've got them all. It's as simple as that. I own everything when it comes to developers right now. That became very clear tonight, right? I got cloud scaling to put it all together. I got Bromium to raise a little cash right up front. So I feel like I'm good to go here with it. I got Aprenda. I've got Apigee. I've got OpenShift. I've got RPath. I've got Puppet. I've got Crowbar. What else do you need?
All right.
What about
VBlock? You're right on VBlock. You're a little bit like that team that drafts nothing but like 6'8" like swing power forwards. Nobody plays
exactly.
Point guard.
Exactly.
All right.
I got one tool in the tool chest. It's a hammer.
All right. All right. So I'll wrap this up. I'm going with the box out the old. What was it? Good for the in-house and the outhouse. I feel good. I've got a framework for infrastructure as a service with CloudStack. I can go public infrastructure as a service with Azure. I can feel like I can touch apps either as custom developed apps through Cloud Foundry, new developed apps, or leverage the framework in the community that's already built around Salesforce.com. A couple of infrastructure plays with Cloudera for big data, Big Switch for networks, or potentially a sell-off player to be named later, and then Basho for both distributed databases, storage, and potentially ass-kicking internal personnel to help us make this change. So we're going to wrap this up. Aaron, I'm going to let you take it home, but for anybody listening, what we're going to do is try and make this a little bit fun. So we'll list everybody out on the show notes. We will have an audience survey. We're going to let folks vote who they think has put together the best fantasy cloud, and based on either your favorite companies or best alignment to their stated goal. And then we'll sort of come back maybe at the end of the year and let folks maybe re-vote on this. Maybe some of these companies get acquired. Maybe some of these guys take over somebody else. Maybe Aaron, becomes a monopoly in automation and just, laughs diabolically all the time. So we'll let folks come back and vote at the end of the year and see how we did. So, guys, this was fun. It was interesting. Aaron, you want to take us home for our first annual Fantasy Cloud Draft? We'll go off and have wings and beers now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, quick version. We're out of time for this week. So, if you like the show normally, I probably wouldn't review this one. Leave us a review on iTunes. Or you can follow us on Twitter at TheCloudCastNet or on the web at TheCloudCast.net, where you can find links to our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and links to iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening.